Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortas Institute. Perhaps you've noticed Christians aren't looked upon as favorably as we once were, and we're determined to not retreat in the face of persecution, taunting, legislation that makes life harder for Christians to speak the Bible. I'd like to invite you to join us in our spring matching gift campaign. No retreat. We are determined to stand firm, and we are inviting you to stand firm with us. We will continue to make as many and more resources as we currently do, because we are determined to see our King exalted. And if that matches your heartbeat, would you kindly consider joining us as a gospel partner? Your gift is doubled right now. You can learn more and join us at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're talking to young men, Gen Z men, about how to grow and mature in your faith. Now, I want you to be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, and download the free Fortas Plus app to listen anytime. And if you're listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review, or if you're on Spotify, consider tapping a star rating. All right, guys, we're going to do a series, part one and two, and the title of this series is What's in Your Heart? What's in Your Heart? And I'm taking all of this from Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 19 for this show. And then on our next show, we'll look at Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. But here's what we're talking about today, talking about Jesus. It says, and he called the people to him again and said to them, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defiles him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, then are you too without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. All right, what are we talking about? What's in your heart? When I was 23 years old, I finally bought my first car. Now, I've been driving since I was 16, like most of you guys, and mostly hand-me-downs from the family fleet. The first ride looked like that I drove, first car I had, it looked like it had survived three seasons of Duck Dynasty and a Chick-fil-A drive-through collision. So when I hit that used car lot to finally buy my own car, I saw a black Toyota Camry. Shiny paint, smooth lines, leather seats. I thought, this is it. I was ready to show up like, yeah, that's right. I'm now adulting. 6 months later, boom, transmission failure. Turns out what looked like it was perfect on the outside was breaking down on the inside. Now, that'll preach, because sometimes you don't really know what's going on until you get inside. That's true with cars, and it's even truer with people. When I worked as a physician's assistant in open heart surgery, I saw this firsthand. We'd have patients come in who looked healthy, like they had gym memberships, probably ate low-fat salads, perfect cholesterol on paper. But when we opened them up, their arteries looked like a Krispy Kreme frosting line. Everything looked good on the outside, but inside, there was blockage, decay, and death. And sometimes you just have to get in there and see what's really going on. And speaking of inside issues, some of you may know that Lisa and I have raised five kids. That's a lot of applesauce, a lot of Disney movies, and a lot of diapers. In fact, if you do the math, about 6,500 diapers per kid during that diaper stage, that's around 32,500 diapers in total. I mean, that's like at a quarter each, that's like $8,000 we spent on diapers. I mean, that's enough to get you a used car. And out of all those diapers, sometimes you'd smell something funny and you'd be like, nah, maybe it's just gas. But nope, you gotta look, because sometimes what's in there is worse than what you imagined. So here's my question for you today, young man. What's in your heart? What's under your hood? What's clogging your arteries? What's inside that needs to be dealt with? Because the truth is this, what's in your heart is what defiles you. You can look clean, polished, and spiritual on the outside, but what's going on inside determines your health, your holiness, your direction, and your joy. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 19. He opens up the chest cavity of the human soul and gives us the real diagnosis. No sugarcoating, no pretending, no fake peace. He says the problem with mankind isn't out there, it's in here. It's not what the world does to you, it's what's already living inside of you. It's not what goes into your body, it's what comes out of your heart. So let's dive in and see what Jesus says. I want us to look at three truths in this two-part series about the heart, and today we'll just cover the first two. And these truths will help you focus not on the outside, but on the inside. Not on the image, but on integrity. So here we go. You ready? Number one, it's not about what goes in, but what comes out. Again, listen to the plea that's given here in verse 14 when Jesus called the people to him. Again, he said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." Now, in the context of Mark 7, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 people, and he had also walked on water. And crowds were flocking to him because they wanted healing, they wanted to see more miracles, and yes, they wanted free lunch. But the Pharisees showed up too. And they weren't there for worship, they were there for a fight. They were furious because the disciples didn't follow their religious hand-washing rituals. That's like someone showing up at church all mad because you didn't wear a tie or because your Bible app was on your phone instead of on paper. They weren't concerned about hearts, they were concerned about hands. Tradition over truth, form over faith. And so Jesus even quoted some Isaiah to those Pharisees out of Isaiah 29:13. He quotes that in Mark 7:6. "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now you can fake words, but you can't fake worship. And Jesus calls out their hypocrisy, and he's not polite about it. He basically says, "You're worshiping God with your mouth while your heart is on vacation." And then here in verse 14, he turns to the crowd away from the Pharisees and says, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand." In other words, stop scrolling, stop arguing, and lock in. This is the Son of God saying, "Pay attention, because what I'm about to say will change the way you see yourself." Brothers, the danger of modern Christianity is that we hear sermons, we listen to podcasts, we read through devotionals, and we nod in agreement, but never let them really cut into our hearts. I mean, we can quote the truth, we can post the truth, we can even hashtag the truth, but we don't live out the truth like we should. And Jesus is saying, listen, not just with your ears, but with your soul. And here's a plain statement here in verse 15 when Jesus says it like it is. There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. Boom. I mean, that's revolutionary. The Pharisees thought sin was something you caught, like a bad cold. Touch a Gentile, eat pork, miss a ritual, and you're defiled. And Jesus says, no, sin is not contagious, it's congenial. In other words, you're born with it. It's something that you have from birth. And this is the difference between religion and regeneration. Religion says, try harder, wash up, fix your behavior. Jesus says, your heart is the problem, not your hygiene. In their day, they had pages upon pages of rules about how to wash hands and how to wash pots and even wash couches. I mean, can you imagine? Hey, bro, did you wash your recliner before lunch? That's what happens when you made your own minors and forget that holiness isn't about soap. It's about surrender. They had even debated weird stuff, like whether you could spit on the Sabbath or if that counted as farming. I mean, that's like next level legalism. And Jesus steps into all this religious clutter and he says, it's not about your hands. It's not about tradition. It's not about the outside. It's about your heart. And listen, you can have a perfect gym routine. You can have a spotless Instagram account. You can have even a consistent Bible app streak and still have a filthy heart. Because sin doesn't live on the surface. It festers beneath it. It's not about your playlist, your protein shakes, or your church attendance. It's about what comes out of your mouth. Your motives, your reactions, your desires. That's where sin reveals itself. And then Jesus gives here a polite reminder in verse 16, where Jesus says there about how he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's Jesus's favorite mic drop phrase. It's like, you didn't get it the first time? That's okay. Wake up, because I'm about to give it to you again. And he says that line six other times in the Gospels, because hearing without obeying is like reading your Bible without letting it read you. So before we move on, let me ask you, what's been coming out of you and your heart lately? Not your diet, but what's coming out of your spirit. Not your words, your habits, your attitude. Because Jesus says that's what tells the truth about what's going on in your heart. So what are we looking at? We're looking at, in this series, we're talking about what's in your heart. Number one, it's not about what goes in, but what comes out. And then let's move on to number two. It's not about your stomach, but it's about the heart. And we read about this in verses 17 through 19. And when they had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled? All right, don't go away, because when you come back from the break, we're going to unpack what that statement means. It's not about the stomach, but it's about the heart.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment, who's teaching from Mark 7 today about what's actually in the human heart. Dr. Tyson is also a professor at the Masters University. And if you have a high school senior in your home, I want to point you to the Masters University. Maybe even if you don't have a high school senior in your home, maybe you're going to have one at some point. Maybe you know someone who does. Or here's another thought. Maybe you yourself are looking to go back to school. But Dr. Tyson, as I said, is a professor at the Masters University. And what the Masters University does better than anybody else in this country right now is build men who carry clear biblical conviction into the rest of their lives. I'm talking about pastors and counselors and missionaries and businessmen and teachers and husbands and fathers. See, TMU is not just a college. It's a place where young men are getting trained to think about themselves and the world through scripture instead of through cultural categories. That's why I say TMU should be at the very tip top of your list. And if you want to get the conversation started right now about what it would look like to attend TMU, then you've got to head over to masters.edu/manhood. And hey, while you're out on the internet, I also want to urge you to download Fortis Plus if you haven't done that yet. That's where all of the content that we're creating here at Fortis Institute, that's where it's stored and distributed through Fortis Plus. So download it by going to wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply going to fortisplus.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. I want to encourage you guys, if you're joining me today on this show, to consider giving us a review on Apple or leaving us a star rating on Spotify and share it with a brother who needs some encouragement in this area. All right, we're looking at what's in your heart, and we're talking about, so it's not really about what goes in, guys, okay? It's not about what you eat, but it's about what comes out, and you got to do a deep dive to really get beneath the surface, to get into your inner man. And so I was just finishing, before we got to the break, reading through this next section here of Mark chapter 7, verses 17 through 19, talking about it's not about the stomach, but it's about the heart. I mean, when Jesus drops this bombshell, even the disciples are confused. So they need a little clarification. It's like they pull up beside Jesus a little later and say, Lord, can you explain that? Because that was not in the Pharisee handbook. And Jesus, you can almost hear the sigh. He says, really? You still don't get it? I mean, I don't think Jesus is being harsh here. He's just being honest because this truth runs deep. He's saying your diet doesn't defile you, your desires do. I mean, you can follow every food law, every ritual, every cultural expectation, and still be spiritually dead. And so he explains here in verse 18 that whatever goes into the body passes through the stomach and then out. In modern terms, what goes into your Chipotle bowl doesn't make you holy or unholy. And then Mark adds the parenthetical parentheses here at the end of verse 19, thus he declared all foods clean. Now, again, this is a little bit of a transition from Old Covenant to New Covenant. And in the Old Covenant, you had certain dietary restrictions and dietary law. But now that we're moving into the New Covenant, there's more of a focus on the heart, not so much on the food that you eat. And so he is, in a sense here, declaring all foods clean. Translation, bacon's back on the menu. Praise the Lord for that, right, guys? But the bigger point is this, food doesn't defile, sin does. It's not in the New Covenant, it's really not about what you swallow. It's what you spew. I mean, the Pharisees were obsessed still with the ceremonial diets, the clean versus the unclean foods. And Jesus is saying, hey, that was an Old Covenant shadow. I'm the substance of the New Covenant. It's the blood of the New Covenant. Today, it's a new day, and that's the reality of what he wants to teach them about. And we remember even Peter making this really visible for us in Acts chapter 10, when there was that sheet of animals in the dream, the vision he had that was coming down from heaven, and God tells him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter's like, no way, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. And God replies, what I've made clean, don't call unclean. So in other words, at that moment, Peter realized the wall between Jew and Gentile was coming down. I mean, you could say it this way, the gospel was going global. That's right, it's going outside of Palestine, it's going outside of the land of Israel, and it's going to all people who will hear and listen to what it is that the Lord Jesus has to say about his sacrifice being the only means that would justify us and to make us holy. And so again, what does all this mean for us? It means that holiness today, it's not measured as much by what you avoid as it is measured by what you adore. I mean, you can have the cleanest diet in the gym and the dirtiest motives in your soul. You can fast all week and still feed your pride. You can post Bible verses and still gossip in the comments. And so Jesus is really saying here, stop focusing on what's on your plate and start focusing on what's in your heart. Again, imagine two guys at the gym. Let's say one's chugging green juice and counting macros and tracking his steps, and the other guy's like sipping on a Coke, crushing Chick-fil-A nuggets and smiling. Now, if I were to ask you which one's healthier spiritually, you know, you'd have to say, I can't tell by what they eat. Exactly. Neither one of them is more healthy spiritually necessarily by what they eat. The only thing that would make you holy is that one of them would be walking in repentance and in faith. Because here's the deal, guys. Your abs don't impress God. Your humility does. And God doesn't see the size of your biceps, but he does see the shape of your heart. So here's the challenge. Don't start this week with your resolutions before you've examined your spiritual condition. You know, don't get out there with all your convictions about what you will and won't do until you've really looked at your heart. And you can't really change your heart with rules. Your heart is only changed by being made alive through the doctrine of regeneration. So don't think somehow rules change your heart, only regeneration does. And the goal isn't really a new set of habits, it's a new heart. And so let the Holy Spirit scrub deeper than your surface level image management. brothers, it's not about your stomach. It's about your soul. It's not about calories. It's about your character. It's not about food. It's about faith. And so as we wrap up part one here, Jesus has drawn a clear line. I mean, the Pharisees said holiness is about what goes into you. And Jesus said holiness is about what comes out of you. Man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And that means your biggest battle isn't with the culture, it's with your own corruption, right? It's what's going on inside of you. So Jesus has just shattered the entire Pharisee system in this passage. They said holiness was about washing hands. Jesus said, no, it's about cleansing of your hearts. They said sin was something you could catch. Jesus said sin's something you carry inside of you. And so here's what it means for you, brother. Your biggest enemy, again, it's not outside of you. It's on the inside. That means it's not your boss. It's not your ex. It's not your social media. It's not your parents. It's not your sibling. It's not those guys who used to be your friends, right? The real problem is your heart. And so let's just get real for a second. You can lift heavy, you can memorize verses, you can dress sharp, you can show up to church, but if you're not guarding your heart, you're losing the real battle. You can have your finances tight, your calendar full, your brand polished, and still be rotting on the inside. So what's in your heart when no one's around, when your phone's on private mode? What are you doing? When you're angry and you want to clap back, how do you respond? When you're bored and tempted to drift, are you letting your eyes wander? And when you see someone else winning and you feel that sting of jealousy, what's that all about? And this is really what Jesus is talking about. It's not just the stuff that you do or don't do on the outside. It's really what's going on the inside. That's where the real war is fought. It's in the private chambers of your heart. And guys, can we just be honest? We're not good at examining our hearts, right? We're a lot better at just action and not necessarily really examine our attitude. And you got to start asking, why am I doing what it is that I'm doing? What's my motive? Because you know what? You can't Photoshop your heart. You can't filter sin. You can't story highlight holiness. The heart is the factory that produces every word, every decision, every attitude, good or bad. And if your heart's off, everything downstream will be polluted. And that's why Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So can I just ask you again, young man, what does your heart look like right now? It means that you better stop pretending. It means that you got to stop managing your sin like some PR campaign. It means that you really need to stop blaming everything external, you know, everything about your environment, your friends, your past, and start taking ownership of what's in. Right? Guard your heart from compromise. Guard it from pride, that voice that says, I got this. Guard it from comparison, that voice that says, he's better. Guard it from comfort, that voice that says, I'll deal with this later. I mean, Jesus isn't calling you to behavior modification. He's calling you to heart transformation. He doesn't want polished hypocrisy. He wants brutal honesty. So maybe today it's time to get along with God and just say, Lord, show me what's really in there. Show me what I've ignored, what I've excused, and what I've hidden. Because you can't fix what you won't face. But the good news is, he's not afraid of what he'll find. I mean, when Jesus opens your heart, he doesn't do it to shame you. He does it to save you. He doesn't diagnose to destroy. He diagnoses to deliver. And some of you need some heart surgery. Not a touch-up, not a new habit, not another motivational quote, but a brand new heart that beats for God. And the great physician is ready to operate. So remember, the issue isn't your food. It isn't your fitness. It isn't your feed. It's your faith. Because a clean heart will produce a clean life, but a hidden heart will rot everything else. So young men, take responsibility for your inner world. Do the work that no one else sees so that God can do the work that everyone will notice. Guard your heart. Clean your heart. Surrender your heart, because what's in your heart will eventually come out of your life. So this week, and again, before we go on to part two, take a hard look inward. What's been coming out of your life lately in your words and your thought and your attitude? Because that's the trail that leads straight back to your heart. And if you're seeing a lot of darkness and pride and jealousy or anger, remember this, the same Jesus who diagnoses the heart also performs the surgery. He doesn't expose to embarrass, he exposes to heal. So let me ask you, what's one religious tradition that you tend to focus on that distracts you from true heart change? How does Jesus' teaching about defilement challenge the way you think about sin and holiness? And what's one area of your life where the outside looks fine, but the inside needs a little heart work? Let me pray for us as we close. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this passage. I pray for that young man who's struggling in his heart. Lord, may we care more about what's going on the inside than just about what we're doing on the outside. Do that work of regeneration and repentance and help us to rejoice in the gospel in all of these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.